This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp and Reggie Attitula all in studio tonight, and we're here until midnight with you, so keep us entertained by texting in all night long.
Well, isn't that what we're supposed to do?
What do you mean what we're supposed to do? You guys entertain us.
That's right. It's your turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been laboring away putting this show together, all right? And we expect that you take part in it, all right, throughout the night. 877-881-1053. You can call or text in. We prefer texters. But we never discriminate, all right? So whatever you want to do, call or text in throughout the evening and entertain us. You better have something funny to text or say or do. Otherwise, Colby will not read it. All right, 877-881-1053. Let's get this thing started right now. Countdown, prediction, let's do it. Does Zeke play in week one or not?
Ooh. I want to say yes.
Ooh. Is it a cop-out if I say full Zeke? No.
What do you mean full Zeke?
I think you'll get a half-ass Zeke in the opening game where it's like, well, he could only carry the ball 10 times because we wanted a blah, 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 blah. I do not think that you're going to see full-blown Zeke in the opener anymore.
Well, do you want to? Like in a season opener, do you really want to risk the opportunity of him going out there and getting hurt for the season in that manner because you put too much of a workload on him?
I guess you
see how the Cowboys ease players back into their program, right?
I do just want to say one thing, though, based off of what you just said. If he gets hurt because he had too much of a workload put on him, that's his fault for not actually being ready to go. Because I just keep hearing all this nonsense. Well, maybe it's not nonsense, but potential nonsense about how, oh, he stayed in impeccable shape and he's football ready and he's ready to go. Then he shouldn't get hurt because of that. And if that's the excuse, then like that's on Zeke for not caring about the team as much as he said he did. And that is what I think, by the way. If he gets hurt because he's unprepared, I don't understand how you could be unprepared for the start of the season. Then that's his fault.
Well, is there any way to tell that he gets injured from being unprepared? Because injuries are like kind of flukish.
I mean, like, I guess it would have to be somebody came out and they're like, well, we gave him too much to do. Or he was like, yeah, just the workload. I wasn't expecting it. And like, that seems pretty unlikely.
There's a possibility. Like, I think soft tissue injuries are because of not having the appropriate preparation.
Okay.
And Jerry's talked about that a number of times. Have you guys noticed the lack of hamstring injuries on this team? Do you remember how many hamstring injuries we used
to
have?
All the freaking time.
And they made a very concerted effort to make sure and ensure that these players are growing in their system to a point so that they can launch them off. And Brandon Carr, remember, they eased him back in after his mother passed away. And they didn't put the workload on him immediately. Byron Jones, they won't put the workload on him immediately. They'll ease him into it. And I don't think there's a way that you sign a guy to whatever contract. If the numbers are, hey, we're there on guaranteed money, but not yearly salary. If that's the problem right now and we're working this out and he's going to end up being one of those top paid running backs, then damn right you want to get that guy out there and see him do his job, because that's what I showed up for. That's why I'm here. I'm paying you to go out there and do your job. But they also want him around in game 16 and game 19 and game 20. That's what they want him here for.
I agree, and I think it's unlikely that, like, he would come out and say, I was a little surprised by the workload. Maybe that had something to do with it. And if that's the case, then you won't really know what the injury is, but like, or why the injury happened. In those other situations, those are like things you couldn't control. Like Byron, he's hurt. I get why you can't be ready. And with Carr, I mean, his mom died, and like, that's not something you, right, I would think you're preparing for. How will I adjust to football when my mom dies? Like, that's not a thing. And so I do think that this situation is a little different, but I'm fascinated to see what would happen.
I mean, we heard Jerry Jones talking about how that during the middle of this, you know, contract negotiation or whatever, that he was throwing out the silver lining of, we'll have him fresh for the end of the year. So that that was a thought process that already went through the brains of the, well, the brains of the Cowboys. So, I mean, if you're talking about, hey, he's going to come in and maybe play a little bit, it is the Giants, right? I don't know if you need 100%.
This is one of the reasons that you got Tony Pollard so early and started working him the way you were in the preseason. So just in case there was that opportunity of him not being there. And you know what? Let's go ahead and see if our quarterback can throw. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe our quarterback does need to have these. Even if Zeke's on the field, doesn't mean we have to call the plays that we used to with Zeke on the field and give him that type of workload. Let's see if he can be. Let's see if there is some sort of new magic that Kellen Moore's drawn up to create space for some of these other players to get open and get downfield and make something beautiful happen.
And, I mean,
then now you've gotten Zeke's contract, DeMarcus's contract, and you can say, all right, well, Dak proved it.
Well, and it would really allow me to determine if I need to reassess my thoughts on these Cowboys, because if you got Zeke or not and you lose to the Giants, I need to reassess a lot of things.
Really? You think they're that bad?
Oh, the Giants suck, and I think we should win this game by at least 17 points.
Okay.
I mean, I know that's not the...
This is the NFL, though.
I know,
Stuff happens in the NFL. These dudes are professional players.
Well, just prepare yourself, Corey. I understand everything that you're saying, and I'm not saying any of it is incorrect. I'm telling you, if the Cowboys lose this game for any reason... I'm going to roll up in here on Monday and be like, oh, my God, we're screwed.
The Giants were a bad team last year, and it took a last-second touchdown from 40 yards out on, like, a bullet that Dak threw to Cole Beasley, which he reached up and grabbed out of the sky to win that game. That's what it took to win that game against a very bad Giants team.
Okay, that being said, how many teams are bigger underdogs than the Giants this weekend? Take a guess.
One.
Okay.
Five.
Okay, it's actually two.
Oh.
The Redskins.
I was closer.
Who are on the road. That's true. No. The Redskins, who are a 9.5-point underdog to Philly. And then the Bengals, who are 9.5-point underdogs to the Seahawks. That's it.
Wow.
So, I get what you're saying, and I do agree. But in terms of games that you should win and win emphatically, I strongly put this in that category. Like, I think the Cowboys get the ball, march down the field, score, get a pick, and the ass kicking is on.
Okay. And I hope so. I hope that's the case, dude. It's just... I never know. You just never know in this NFL. That's why the movie Any Given Sunday was made with that in the title.
Yes.
Because right. Any Given Sunday. And these odds are being made without a single game having been played yet.
Oh, yeah.
Any real things. But lots of texts coming in at 877-881-1053. Guys, have a great show this evening. I'm looking forward to it. I drafted Zeke with my first pick in the fantasy league, mainly due to the overall optimism on the fan the last couple days. He better play. The Giants are horrible. Could probably have 60 yards on 10 carries.
That's what I think.
Zeke could have half-ass it for four games and still lead the league in rushing. Well, that's because they gave him the ball so much previously. Hopefully they don't have to give him the ball that much.
I mean, if that's the case, I hope he uses all of it and then dominates and sets records.
We get this from the 940. Hot take. Zeke Elliott doesn't make game one or game two and possibly game three because of his holdout for a new contract. He makes it back for week four versus the Saints.
Okay, in that instance, something has gone horribly wrong.
Or right.
For now, see, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because the first three games you should win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and hopefully emphatically. And if you're 3-0, I really think that changes his leverage. And I don't necessarily see him going, well, I guess I'll take less money now. Although that would be wonderful. What I think is I'm concerned that what really happened is you're now 2-1, or God forbid, 1-2, and they're like, well, it worked in 93 with Emmett. I guess we'll bring him back now. And now the march to the Super Bowl begins.
All right, here's one of the things, though, that and I want to get to this text in just a minute from the 469. One of the biggest reasons I think the Cowboys' offense will be really good is because Dak hasn't signed. If he didn't believe in his new offense, I think he would have signed already.
Sure.
To, you know, secure his place and everything. But I do want to kind of compare that to Zeke. Zeke is in a situation now. My biggest fear has been him being happy. And you don't want to come back and play on a contract that you aren't happy with. So who's making the concessions in these agreements, right? Or in these negotiations that we're hearing as they get closer? Because he's been offended, he's been hurt, and all these things. And I just wonder, have the Cowboys said, okay, look, we're going to do everything we can to make sure you walk out on the field a happy player. But we can't do all the things.
I hate saying this, but I kind of feel like I have to wait until I see the number, right? Because right now it feels like maybe the Cowboys are conceding more because first you heard it was a top five offer. Then who's to say that some of these sources are even correct? Then you hear, well, it's a top two offer. And now you're hearing, you know, that what they really want is the most guaranteed money, not just the most per year. And now the word is that maybe they did offer the most per year, and even that's not enough. And if that's the case, like, it just feels like the Cowboys are giving, giving, giving. And
do you think you're going to get a happy player? I mean, if you're an owner or a team, why would you not want the happy player?
Just because it will handicap your ability to potentially sign other players going forward. And I get that that's not the player's fault. Like, whether or not we can keep Byron Jones, I understand that that is not Zeke's problem, but it could make a difference.
All right, and that's something I wanted to discuss with you, and I don't know exactly what your take is on this, but Skin and I kind of got into a debate on Saturday, and I heard him saying he did not like the approach of Tank Lawrence when he said the salary cap is not a me problem, it's a you problem, referring to Steven and Jerry.
Sure.
Because your problem is, how do you figure out how to get everybody happy, right? Yeah. It's not how do I get everybody the max money. It's not how do I get everybody the money that's appropriate to the team. It's how do I get everybody that I want back happy.
Sure.
And Skin said that is not the way a teammate should stand. And I said, hold on. For me, this is different because I feel like he's saying it's a you problem because I'm the player. You guys, as the owners, made this rule, and our players' association screwingly accepted the salary cap. Yeah. And now y'all have to figure out how to do all these things while our value is raising on this team. I don't think that the players feel like that the owners have done everything they can to pay all the money that they can.
That's certainly fair.
Or that they feel that the salary cap is in a place where they're all like, hey, that's exactly the right number that it should be. And so that's why I agree with Tank, because I don't think the players look at the owners and think to themselves, they're giving us every nickel that they possibly can.
Okay, and I will go ahead and say, sure, I would definitely concede to that. I will say that I think Tank's take is a selfish take, but I don't necessarily think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, people always view selfish in a negative term. I mean, like, look, if Tank says the hell with the owners, the hell with the team, I'm getting mine, that is an unquestionably selfish take. However, in the NFL, you kind of have to do that sometimes. Me personally, I think it would kind of depend on how much I like working at the place I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at the newspaper, there were sacrifices that got made in terms of salary, and I even insisted that somebody else get a raise over me at a certain point because I knew they were going to leave if they didn't, and I really enjoyed the place that I worked. I would think that maybe you hold that other opinion could be in part because you think you can get it wherever,
yeah,
and it will be the same wherever. So, like, he might be a Tank might have thought, or Zeke might be thinking, man, I really like being here and it's cool, but, you know, it would be the same wherever else. And if that's the case, well, then hell yeah. And then the flip side of it is, of course, you have a limited lifespan. You know, I could have been in the newspaper industry, well, until it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
But let's say you were in a vibrant industry and it wasn't just going to disappear, then you could probably do that for a really long time. Tank was looking at that, and Zeke is looking at that thinking, this is my one shot at a humongous payday And then I get the selfishness.
Yeah, and I agree with Tank on the respect of this is your job as the owner, as the GM, as the guy who's running the business to keep happy employees. If that's the kind of thing you want to have, right? If you want to have bitter, upset employees, you can be the Redskins. You can be some of these other teams that you see, the Raiders. Nobody wants to play for them. But if you want to be the Cowboys, and that's what Jerry always thought. Look, free agency is going to be perfect for me because everybody's going to want to be a Cowboy. Everybody's going to want to wear a star on their helmet. This salary cap, it'll just give me an opportunity to not have to pay so much. So I'll be able to pay these guys because they're going to want to come here to win championships because at the time they were winning championships. Well, now he's starting to see that that's changed a lot.
From the 214, who cares? And I've been seeing this more and more. Like, I know it's existed to a certain extent since the very beginning, but I've been seeing it more and more. Who cares about Zeke? Seriously, what an effing baby.
Mm.
And that's one of the things where I wondered, like, when the latest news was that he wants the most guaranteed money, whether or not that comes along with the highest per year average. And Todd Gurley got the bulk of his guaranteed money in the first 2 years. And I do wonder, now that you're getting closer and closer to him missing actual games, how many people will turn against him who were like, whatever, before, because they just thought, well, there's no chance he'll actually miss a game that matters, especially if it was a game that you ended up losing. Like, if the Cowboys lost to the Giants, I can't tell you how fascinated I would be to see, like, is it stupid cheap owner, or is it stupid selfish Zeke, or is it like, you know, any number of reactions?
That was Roy's question of the day. I think it was Friday, I believe. And it was, who's at fault? Ownership or front office, Zeke, or this is just business? And I stand on the this is just business side. And that is because there is part of me that's like, yeah, I understand he has a contract and he's not there fulfilling his contract right now. I get that. And I'm fine with it because he should be. If you're gonna have a contract, be there to do it. But at the same time, look what happened to Earl Thomas last year.
Right.
He was fulfilling his contract and then got hurt in the middle of it when he wanted more. And I know, that's greedy. So I'm going to just stand on the it's business, and that's the business side of things. And sometimes if you built the team the right way, you don't have to worry about these things.
Well, we'll find out starting Sunday how well we all think this team is built, because I definitely am in that camp as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the no-hitter. Verlander makes another step into history. Are you still in awe of these? 877-881-1053. And have you ever seen one in person? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the personal injury team at Franklin Frankel. If you've been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call 214-333-3333 or visit them online at franklinfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Keeping an eye on a football game going on because, hey, it's football season, baby!
Woo! Did you know no more Sundays this year without football?
The rest of the year?
Yep.
Awesome.
That feels good.
It is a good feeling. Today's a good day. The Rangers also did win the Astros won as well.
And
we're also like 60 games back.
We were just bringing up good stuff, and then you had to end it with, I mean, what are you doing?
All right, I won't bring up game six then. It's 14-14, Notre Dame and Louisville right now, and Louisville's not supposed to be that good. So I'm interested to see how this game goes throughout the night.
How can anyone know how good Notre Dame is, though?
Nobody's ever has a clue.
Of course, they're in the top 10.
They are a consistently overhyped team.
I agree with
that. Because they are who they are. You know, it just comes with the status of the college. But there was an amazing thing happened today, and we'll get to it in baseball buckets as well. But yesterday, Justin Verlander pitched a no-hitter. And Kevin, this is interesting that you're asking this, and I want to see how you guys feel in 877-881-1053. Text in. Are you still in awe of no-hitters? And have you ever seen one in person? Are you do you think of the no-hitter as a cool thing? Because when I was a kid, if there was a no-hitter that went down, it was historic, right? It was game-changing. Nobody ever did that. And to be quite honest, how many have happened this year?
I don't know.
I'll look
it
up.
Two or three?
To be quite honest, with the home run ball working the way that it has this year in baseball, I was starting to think that no-hitters were going to become even more rare as we go along.
It happens like a lot more than you think. I think it's still magical, but only if I saw it in person, because I've never seen a no-hitter in person. And if I saw one in person, I think I would be like, wow, that was magical.
I think it's only magical for me when the home team does it. Because hearing about some other...
You wouldn't get into it if it was the other team?
No. Are
pitcher
these,
on the road?
Yeah. Or it's just, you know, weird. The like the multiple bullpen no-hitter or whatever. So all of you got out there and got lucky. Is basically what happened. It's not like you were terribly good, just the other team just didn't know how to bat for a little bit. I can understand that.
Wow.
So, but with Verlander, there is something to it, because aren't the Toronto Blue Jays full of just young, awesome hitters?
Well, and if that weren't enough, I mean, he's now, I think, tied for fourth all-time in most no-hitters, and he just became the first pitcher ever to have two no-hitters on the road in the same stadium against the same team, which is, that part's pretty cool. And so, like, he just historically owns the Blue Jays is kind of what it sounds like to me. But I'm not impressed when I just generally hear about it, but if I was there, like, I was lost my mind. We talked about that spring training game when there was a no-hitter. I was like, oh, my God, I hope he comes out for the next inning.
Yeah.
Now that guy's dead.
What's amazing, too.
He is.
What's amazing about those is, you know, you're sitting there watching, and you don't realize it until fifth inning. You're like, hold on, what's going on here? And that's whenever you really get invested. Those last four innings, you really get invested in your pitcher. Even though you've been watching this guy for the last five innings go out there, and you've seen he's got the stuff, you've seen nobody can touch him, and you're like, man, he's really pitching well. But then you start to realize that you could possibly do it. Because we started noticing we joked around third inning.
Yeah.
Hey, we're watching a no-hitter out here. And then all of a sudden, it was fifth inning, and we were like, hold on, this could be serious. And I think one of the really amazing things, maybe the no-hitter isn't as special for a lot of people, but I think it's awesome. I think it's an amazing feat, because if you go out on any given day and nobody can defeat you at all that day,
yeah,
at anything that you were doing, then you were awesome. But I will say this too. With the amount of guys that have pitched three no-hitters, that's something special, because there are only six. Do you know who they are?
I know five of them.
Okay.
I don't know the sixth one, because it goes Nolan.
Seven has seven.
Koufax.
Has four.
Verlander.
Three.
Cy Young.
Three.
Randy Johnson?
Nope.
Dang it. Oh, maybe I only know four. Walter Johnson?
Nope.
Okay, maybe I only... Bob Feller.
Bob Feller is one of them that has three, and Larry Corcoran.
Oh, I don't know if I even know who that is.
I don't know who he is either, but even still.
I mean, he made one.
Like, it's special to get three no-hitters. But all those guys are old players, right? Like, they're all old players. Nobody has three no-hitters nowadays.
Oh, okay. Just for the record, I don't feel bad about not knowing who he is. Larry Corcoran died in 1891. He died in 1891.
That's before the mound was moved back.
Wow. He had a Cracker Jack rookie year where he went 43-14.
Have they even made Cracker Jacks at that point?
Oh, I don't even know if they have. He won 43 games, and in his first five seasons, the least amount of wins he ever had was 27. because baseball was a lot different then. But yeah, as a rookie, he went 43-14 with a 1.95 ERA. He started 60 games, threw 536 innings. Only he led the league with 268 strikeouts. That is not as impressive when you pitch 536 innings.
He was just pitching to contact a lot, Kevin.
I guess
he was out there for 500 and something innings.
He was a full-time starting pitcher for 5 years. He ended his career having thrown 2,400 innings. What?
The
seems like too much.
It does. Maybe that's why. Well,
one of my you guys know one of my favorite movies is For Love of the Game.
Yep.
And in the movie, Billy Chappell, played by Kevin Costner, is pitching a perfect game. He goes through. He's having all these flashbacks and thoughts about what goes on in his regular life, but he's also pitching a perfect game and doesn't even realize it until very, very late in the game. Actually, maybe the last inning, he looks up and goes, "Holy crap, is this really happening right now?" And one of the things is in the last inning, the manager sends a kid for his first ever major league at bat. Because when you send a kid up like that, he has no clue what he's about to do. No clue what he's about to wreck for somebody. And he tells him to wreck it. And that's what I feel like Bo Bichette and Biggio and Vlad's kid yep. are going up there thinking, man, we know who Verlander is, but I don't care about him. I'm trying to make my mark right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make my mark on baseball and become that guy. So that's, for me, that's one of those things where he was able to overcome, like Colby said, a bunch of young, badass hitters that didn't really have a clue for the moment at the time.
All right, I cannot let this stand from the 817. I think Larry sounds quite fictitious. Okay. In 1880,
Larry Corcoran,
he alternated pitching with Cap Anson and Fred Goldsmith, giving Chicago the first pitching rotation in professional baseball history. During a game in 1884, he pitched 4 innings with his opposite arm, because he had inflammation in his right index finger. He is also credited with being the first pitcher ever to signal his pitches to the catcher. You know how he did that? By moving his wad of chewing tobacco around in his mouth.
So
if it's on the right side, then that's fastball.
Uh-huh.
If it's on the left side, curveball.
Yeah.
Here comes a curve. So and if I spit it all the way out.
Mark that.
I'll have to pick it up to tell you what the next pitch is.
Doing good in your relationship.
Weird.
So I will say this. If I could see a no-hitter live, I don't think I would think it was foolish at all. I would be super invested. And I would still be cheering for my team to win if it was like 1-0. I'd be like, let's break up this no-hitter. But if it's like 8-0, I'm not going to lie. I'm probably, maybe not out loud,
what?
But internally, I'm probably cheering to see the no-hitter.
Wait, so you're...
Even against your team?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what he just said.
It's 8-0. You're not going to win. I kind of want to see something I've never seen before. I didn't say I was proud of it, but I'm telling you, I'm probably going to be like, you know, let's go other teams.
I'm not going to lie. I'm in the same boat.
What?
I want to see something great happen. You know, I want to see
against your team.
Now, you know what? There's a possibility that I really do want to see, and it's on the side, but I do want to see the 8-run comeback, you know, to tie things up. That'd be awesome if my team could do it and was in contention, not out of the playoffs by like 60 games. But but I also love the idea, and then one of those stories about Nolan, and I can't remember who the player was. But Nolan was pitching a no-hitter, and the dude was like, all right, and he went into the clubhouse and sawed the leg off of a table and said, I can't hit him with a bat. I'm going to try and hit him with something else. And he came out, and they were like, you can't do that. He was like, well, I can't hit him with a bat. Nobody's been able to hit him today, so I'm going to use this. And so those are the things. You're frustrating your opponent that badly that they're trying to think of ways to screw you up. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I love about that. So I do want to see the no-hitter happen, man.
No, there is no way against my team. That another pitcher is playing the Texas Rangers, and it's the Angels or it's the Mariners or it's I don't care who, and they're throwing a no-hitter, and I'm not going to sit in my recliner or sit here in the show prep room or sit there in the stands and go, Yeah, I kind of hope he does throw the no-hitter. Even if it's 13-0 or whatever you want to make the score, I want that guy to stop throwing a no-hitter. I want somebody to hit the ball. I don't care. Bunt it. I don't care how you get to first. I don't want any celebrations by the opposing team on the field.
I've seen it play out quite differently at some high school games where I saw the home team cheer for another team to like wrap up their half of the inning, not because they were glad they didn't score more, but instead it was because they just wanted to get their team up again and see if they could continue to get no hit. Like, I've seen that happen multiple times. The other thing that's really bizarre to me, well, putting aside the fact that Justin Verlander was done for a couple of years and then he magically got better all of a sudden again, like, we can deal with that at another point, but he's only won the Cy Young Award once. And that's when he was also the MVP. He's finished top five for Cy Young, it looks like, 7 times.
Dude, Cy Young never even won one. That's pretty ridiculous.
So do you think, like, if you never won the Cy Young, you're not really that great of a pitcher, right?
No, because because a really good pitcher has a good year.
Okay.
The year you have 10 great seasons. And that one year, for 10 years, somebody else just happened to have a better season.
Okay.
I mean, it stinks sometimes. Where are you going with that? You trying to talk about Nolan?
Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young.
I think Nolan's fantastic. He has 7 no-hitters, Kevin. How many no-hitters do you have?
2.
How many no-hitters has JD thrown?
Oh, probably 0.
I bet JD could, though. Or, you know, he could find the right pitcher to do it. Guys, there are a lot of texts coming in, 877-881-1053. I saw Matt Harrison throw a no-hitter in Frisco. It was amazing to watch.
By the way, just Verlander has finished runner-up to the Cy Young 3 times.
See? Every year, there's just somebody who was just a little, that was having a remarkably different season that year.
I mean,
Nolan Ryan did it once.
Because most of the time, you know, they didn't want to give him that award because he was better than Cy Young.
Yeah, I almost dropped an F-bomb just now.
Baseball used to be baseball used to be a different place. That year he went 21-16.
See? God. And he probably pitched 30 complete games?
Let's see. That year he had you were close. He had 26 complete games. And he started 39. Wow.
If anybody gets a complete game nowadays, it's like, oh my God, can you believe it? It was amazing to see.
He had a stretch where he had 8 consecutive years of at least 10 complete games, and 7 of those he had at least 14 complete games. Wow, that's a lot.
From the 817, I'm not in awe. I do want to know how the Astros are cheating and making these pitchers better. I mean, come on, Verlander was ready to retire. 3 years ago, as Kevin was talking about.
Yes!
Then somebody said they saw Nolan's 7th no-hitter when they were 8. Ironically, against the Blue Jays, my dad clearly knew it was a big deal. We stayed for hours trying to get the ticket stubs signed.
Oh, but to no avail. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Kate Upton, she posted a picture of them about to make out and said, "Forever your number one fan, Heart Eyes. Congratulations on your...
Heart?"
Yeah. Heart eyes. Okay. I mean, it could be heart eyes. Congratulations on your 3rd no-hitter at Justin Verlander. I mean, just say that in person.
But everything's got to be done publicly, Kevin.
I know.
Everything.
I know. I definitely have old man syndrome when it comes to this.
When it comes to just this?
Oh, yeah.
You're an old man, you shouldn't be using Facebook or Twitter, though.
Ooh, that's a good. That's for the job. That is definitely for the job.
Newspaper man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, make your predictions now. Will I read the right tease? Jalen Hurts dominates, but he still thinks his team sucks. Plus, the most incredible college football score, perhaps, of all time. Next on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Bill Dickinson's Group of Dealerships. You can check them out at DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi's at MyMitsu.com, and of course, there's always Southwest Kia at SouthwestKia.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, is there any doubt that Lincoln Riley is going to have every dollar imaginable thrown his way next offseason? Whenever coaches are...
His quarterback doesn't think that.
Oh, really? All right, so Jalen Hurts went out there and was dominant against the University of Houston, which, I mean...
Don't worry about that part.
Even still, it is the way you want to make an impact and say, hey, I want that Heisman Trophy, is on game one, you show up. And he had a huge game. Six touchdowns yep. total. Three on the ground, three in the air, and the offense looked pretty good. I mean, you could see the creativity that Lincoln Riley has and the way he creates space, the way he utilizes not only one of the best offensive lines, but because they brought back they were missing four offensive linemen. They have a great center, but they brought in four new offensive linemen, and they still looked awesome.
Yeah.
And they used that offensive line, big and heavy and fast and athletic and strong, to go out there and move guys around and force people to go one way whenever they're going to go another way with something. Well, Jalen Hurts, after seeing his team with one game, wasn't really happy afterwards.
We played good football at times, but it was not consistent enough.
You seem super disappointed right now, and yet you set a new school record for yards in a debut, and you're also the first Oklahoma quarterback in school history to throw for over 300 and rush for over 150. So can you be somewhat happy?
I got to go talk to my boys. We got to get right. We got to get better. We got to take more steps.
When you look back on this game tonight, what do you think is the thing that you've got to clean up most?
Sloppy play, really trusting it, and just executing better. We got to execute better.
All right. What does the future hold for you guys? What kind of feeling do you get from this debut?
Hopefully, we can learn from our mistakes from this game and take that next step next week.
Okay. Can I just get one smile? You played well tonight, Jalen.
You got to do better, man. I'm telling you.
All right. You gave me a baby one. I'll take it. Thank you.
Right. No smiles at all.
So let's just point out real quick, this would be the top story on every sports thing in the world if that was a male person who had asked a female athlete to smile a little bit.
Really?
It would have been like, sexism! You would never ask a male athlete to do that. But yet, I bet that's the first time you've heard anybody make reference to that. So I just wanted to throw that out there as an aside. But also... Jalen Hurts thinks that his team sucks, and if they don't get better, they're going to get hammered by any good team that they face, which I kind of like that mindset. I do.
And you know what? But is that the mindset that your first-year quarterback that's stepping into everything and he's trying to prove himself to be a leader? I understand that. But is that what you need him to say directly to a reporter right after a win? Don't you want to have that in the locker room first just to make sure everybody's okay with that?
This is a dude who, Colby, is on one mission, and that is to defeat Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Win a Heisman and defeat Alabama. Those things, win all the things. That's his one mission.
But he would trade winning a Heisman to beat Bama in the championship,
I absolutely agree.
Okay.
And because he had, you know, NFL stardom in his sights, and then Tua comes in and takes his job, and it's embarrassing. You know, that's an embarrassment for you to be the number one guy, and then somebody else comes in and takes your job away from you, and then your coach is like, well, I mean, what am I going to do? And then you have to sit there and kind of watch it. So he's been embarrassed enough, and he said, let me go to a coach that can build, that has an offense that I can work with. And he found Lincoln Riley. And he's like, hey, you want to beat Bama? I want to beat Bama. Let's go out there and do this together. So I think what he also understands is the mindset of Bama, the mindset of Nick Saban, and the fact that Nick Saban does not accept anything less for his teams, and that's why they are championship teams. They can go out there and party and have a good time right now if they want to. But if we want to go do what I want to accomplish, we have to be a much better team. And I think it's a perfect way for him to set the standard in that locker room to start out.
Okay, yeah, set the standard in the locker room, not in a live mic right after your first win.
I don't think anybody on that team is going to sit there and be like, dude. Because he didn't call anybody specific out.
You don't think
he said we.
You don't think all the defense is just sitting there going, yeah, we allowed like 31 points from Houston.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Yeah, you don't think that all of them are going there? Well, he's obviously talking about us because he had 40 what points on the board, right?
That's OU's biggest weakness. I mean, they do need to be better there. OU's always bad at defense.
Yes, so go ahead and tell them in the locker room. Again, you can't tell me that not at least half of the defense is not butthurt.
Well, you know what? If they're going to be butthurt about it, then they don't need to be on my team. Because at the end of the day, we're here to be better. We're here to win and kick ass. And if you're going to get upset because I said, hey, y'all need to be better, then you need to go somewhere else, not in here in this locker room.
No, the only reason I'd be upset is that you went out and told everybody else after a win. Yeah,
well, get used to it because we ain't winning anything because of you guys. Like, that's what I would be thinking. I was like, we're winning because of me, not because of you. And by the way, did you see the Alabama response to this? So their stud receiver, Jerry Judy, said...
Judge Judy?
He might be the number one pick in the draft. He said, I'm happy for him. He did a great job passing and running. 6 touchdowns, that's unbelievable. But that's what Jalen do. So I'm very happy for him. Then we go to Nick Saban. The first part of this quote is incredible because it makes it seem like he's just going to shut the whole thing down, right? If I told you this first part was his entire quote, would you believe it? I asked him, what did you think about it? And he goes, I didn't see the game last night. We work on Sunday nights. If I told you that was the entirety of his quote, you would totally believe that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. It was not. And it got significantly better from there, where it does kind of sound like he oddly supports him. But I hear he played extremely well and did an outstanding job, and that doesn't surprise me in the least bit. And we're really happy for him, not only in the way he handled himself throughout this entire process, but now that he's having success as well. So it does kind of sound like he doesn't wish all of the failure on him, but I just really wish that was the first part of it. Like, that was his whole quote. He goes, we work Sunday nights. I didn't see it. And you're like, wow.
Okay. I do feel like, though, that... You know, he'll change his tune if he was beaten by Jalen. But I also, if you've had the type of success that Nick Saban's had in your career and you're looking around at things, you kind of have to start thinking, okay, is there more to all this stuff that we're doing? And can I take a little bit of celebration in seeing somebody grow? And I think he can definitely feel like, look, I've had all the individual success I can get. But it feels good to see another player go out there and do something special.
So what part of Nick Saban that you've seen either dealing with the media or just on the sidelines or just anywhere else where you don't think that guy is just petty and he needed to say the right thing right then?
Honestly, it's the
his brain kicked in halfway through that quote.
The Mike Tyson, Nick Saban conversation that they had where he was saying, you know, the things it takes to be a champion. And then the discussions they were having with each other about bringing in people that have hit rock bottom and then either risen or learned something from it, because he brings those guys in. I really do think he brings them in because he hopes that they can give lessons to his players and that he can send out better men than just football players. I think that's what he hopes. And I that's what I would hope if I was coaching, that I can accomplish multiple things. Don't you think that Coach K hopes that he sends out a better man?
Sure.
That came through his college program, because that's what you can tell the mom when you're recruiting in the next round.
I also don't know if I think Coach K and Nick Saban are precisely the same, but I understand your point nonetheless. I wanted to give you a couple other college football things from the weekend. Not one single ranked team lost to an unranked team. So the only ranked team that lost was Oregon. And, well, to be determined if Notre Dame can get it together. They lost to Auburn in the last 10 seconds of a game they hadn't trailed at all. And they gave up 24 straight points, I think, to close the game. So Auburn beat Oregon 27-21. Oregon, the only ranked team to lose. And then, Colby, I know you heard the first part of this because we talked about it during a roundtable at the cornhole tournament on Saturday. Somebody made a parlay bet where they bet $100 for Georgia State to beat Tennessee, mm-hmm. which happened, and New Mexico State to beat Washington State. They bet $100. If they hit, they would win $46,000.
What an awesome bet.
Well, Georgia State won, and then New Mexico State played Washington State. New Mexico State, massive favorite. Hanging in there in the first quarter. They only trail 14-7. Final score, New Mexico State 7, Washington State 58.
Oh.
So the game kind of got away from them there, and that guy does not win his parlay, and instead he just loses $100. And then the closest, I think a ranked team probably came to losing to an unranked team. You'd have to say Iowa State, who needed triple overtime to defeat Northern Iowa.
Jack Trice Stadium.
Yes. I don't know if that is the entire reason.
Come on, man. That was a ranked team and Jack Trice having trouble with the team that they should have no trouble with. That's Jack Trice Stadium.
Team. By the way, a line of interest, and I know we'll talk about this more, Texas A&M, 17.5 point underdog to Clemson. But the big moving line, holy smokes, and I don't know if this was because of what happened over the weekend or what. Louisiana State University, LSU, is now a 5.5 point favorite over Texas.
Oh, wow.
They open as a 4-point favorite. That closed all the way down to even a couple weeks ago. It is now back up to 5.5. That means a ton of money is coming in on LSU. But the score I most want to tell you about is the Maryland against Howard game. And I know you might be thinking,
Howard,
I don't care about that game. Well, Maryland won 79-0. Here's why that's particularly noteworthy. Jordan McNair, the offensive lineman who died last year, wore 79.
Wow.
Plus, it was all of Maryland versus one guy.
That is true. It seems unfair, but you can see how the score.
But they, was that intentional on their part? Like, did they just say, okay, did they like kick an extra field goal?
No,
did they lay up on an extra point?
Yes, it was intentional because they had an opportunity to kick a gimme field goal at the end of the game, and they just took a knee. Or not like at the very end, but late in the game, and they just took a knee. And
you score 79 points, and at that point, you're going to take a knee?
Yeah. And well, one of the players said, I knew that I didn't want us to score again. And then the coach did go talk to the Howard coach and say, hey, sorry, we didn't mean any disrespect, but like when we got close, we knew that this is what was going to happen. And several of the players said, you know, never forget our brother, long live Jordan McNair. And like, they were all well aware of it, like immediately after the game. So I just thought that was a pretty crazy story, is they matched the, and that's an unusual score.
Oh yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
But they matched the jersey number for the player a little more than a year after the fact.
Isn't that odd though, as an organization, like this is the program that, through negligence,
what
caused his death. So it feels odd that it's like, hey, we're going to memorialize you
Not those players, though.
Yeah, but I mean, the coaches.
Oh, no, sure. Although my buddy Bill just texted me, and he's a Texas fan, and he said, don't forget, though, Maryland is unstoppable in week one. Because remember, oh, have you seen the saddest thing in all of college football? I'm sorry, Colby. I know this is your team, but you need to acknowledge this is sad. Is Texas is now selling 1-0 shirts? Because it's the first time in the Tom Herman era they started 1-0. Like,
oh,
that
man.
Is objectively depressing.
I don't even want to know.
I do. I also want to point this out, gentlemen. In one of the biggest games this station has wanted to pay attention to in a while, North Texas defeated ACU 51-31, 51-plus 31, 82. Jason Witten's back this year. All right, guys.
Ooh, but bad news for KT, right? Because I heard he gave up 22 points-ish.
Oh, no!
And you know what makes it really bad? North Texas was up in that game 31-0.
And they let off the gas pedal.
He had to have thought, I got this bet in the bag.
Man.
And then,
sorry,
not
KT.
So much.
That's why I always just bet to win.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where, well, here's one way to run yourself out of the league really quickly. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.